So we're on the Gemara on the top of Daf Aleph, and the Gemara is seeking out somebody who could be the author of our Mishnah. If you hold like Rabbah, that the reason why you need a shaliach to say b'chanai nechtam or b'chanai nechtam is because it has to be l'shma. So the question is, why do you need both b'chanai nechtam and b'chanai nechtam? According to Rabbi Elazar, the get has to be written l'shma, but it doesn't have to be signed at all. According to Rabbi Meir, the get has to be signed l'shma, the edin chasima kaiti, but you could find a copy of a get, and if it's written properly, it has the right words in it, you can find it in the garbage because somebody was just practicing, you know, writing gittin, and they picked somehow magically your name, your wife's name, and the date, today's date or something, and you find this, according to Rabbi Meir, you can simply take the get, find edin, say, sign on this l'shma, I want to divorce my wife, and it works. So the question then is, so it doesn't make sense that Rabbi Meir would say b'fanai nechtam, but it shouldn't have to be b'fanai nechtav. So that's what the Gemara's question was. So Rabbi Meir it kind of abandoned, and then I think we're up to the next answer, Ela La'olam, the third line on Dalet Amid Aleph. So Ela La'olam Rabbi Elazar, he b'chilo boy Rabbi Elazar chasiba hecha deleka edim klal, but hecha de'ika edim boy. So Rabbi Elazar, you're right, doesn't require Eidei Chasim. And according to Rabbi Elazar, you can write a get, not have Eidim in it, and you can hand it over. And the only reason you hand it over in front of what we call Eidei Mesira, and that's all that's needed. And the only reason why we have Eidim sign in the get is Meitzikon Olam, because if something should happen, the Eidei Mesira is available, we'll call on the Eidei Chasim at least to verify that the get was signed properly, that they actually signed this get, and Mestama, if the husband authorized the Eidim to sign this get and authorized its delivery, so Mestama, or if they signed it, Mestama, he authorized the delivery and the get was delivered properly. But if you didn't put the Eidim in all, Rabbi Elazar says it would be fine. So the Gemara says yes. If you don't put the Eidim in, it's fine. But if the Eidim in there are psulim, so that star is Mezuyaf Mitocho. And even Rabbi Elazar is noted that when it's Mezuyaf Mitocho, so then the shtar is possible. So it's one thing if you don't have any Eidim in the shtar, but if you have Eidim in the shtar, who signs Shmuel Lashma, so the Gemara says that's like it's Mezuyaf Mitocho. So the Balei Atosis asks an important question here, which is, why is that Mezuyaf Mitocho? Mezuyaf Mitocho means, the concern of Mezuyaf Mitocho really is, you have a karav or you have a puzzle who signed in a shtar. And so you can have this by a regular shtar as well. Rabbi Elazar's position is, some big machlokas hamorai in our ninth parak, whether or not we pass them like Rabbi Elazar outside of Gittin. Everybody agrees that we pass them like Rabbi Elazar of Gittin, that Eidim is Seer Akarta, the Ikar of the Eidim who see it handed over. That's what makes the get be a get. But what about by other shtaros? So Rabbi Elazar also holds, by all other shtaros, whenever you're dealing with a shtari hakna, we're not talking about shtari raya for the moment. Obviously, by shtari raya, you need Eidim in the shtar, and Eidim have to be churned, because otherwise it won't function as a proof. But if you're talking about a shtar, whose purpose is to be machna? If you want to be machna, you want to be kona karta. How are you kona karta? Kesef, shtar, and chazaka. Shtar doesn't mean writing a deed for the person. You may want to write a deed also, or a shtar hakna might serve as deed. A shtar hakna means, I, by handing you over this shtar, am transferring the possession of this karta to you. The kinyan is affected through a shtar. The shtar might also serve as a raya, but that's not its fundamental purpose. So if you have shtari hakna, Rabbi Elazar says you don't need Eidim in the shtar, you just need Eidim Mesira for the shtar hakna. So if it's Mezuyaf Mitocho, it's not going to serve as a raya. But Rabbi Elazar says the shtar is puzzle, it seems to be really a gzeira that people might look at it and say, oh, Joe Shmo and the Jack Shmo are signed in the shtar and they're krovim. So you see, you can have krovim the Eidim or if they're psulim. Joe Shmo is a ganif, everybody knows that. And now, obviously, Joe Shmo is kashra ba'edus. But when you look at a shtar, gittin, where the Eidim signs Shlomo b'shma, what are you going to think? Oh, that looks like a signature that's Shlomo b'shma. What are you talking about? Right? So now there's no ruach hatoma or ruach hatara, that's parachas, on top of the shtar, that you can look at the signatures and know, oh, that's it. You know that famous story? Want to tell the famous story? It's Rosh Hashanah. I'm sure it's like written all over the place. That the Besh, that the Noda Bihuda, who was not a big fan of Hasidus, his daughter was like obsessed with the Besh. She was always going and visiting. She was going to tell her father stories. At one time, he tells her story that he came and someone brought a chicken in front of the Besh to pass in the Shailan, and the Besh looked at him and said, I see a Ruch HaTumah floating on in his face. So Noda Bihuda said, big deal. I don't need to see the chicken to pass in on it. So generally speaking, we don't assume that you can look at the shadow and there's a ruach kashmas or paschas floating over the chasimas. You can't tell. So Tosafot says, what's Nizyot Mitocha? Or Shayach then? Nizyot Mitocha means where the Edom are psuma, where the Edom are krovim, but not when it's just the Edom sign Lishma, Shaloshma. What are you afraid about? What's good? Nobody's going to look at it and say, from the fact that Edom sign Shaloshma here. So Tosafot scratches the terrace. He says that somehow if we know that the Edom sign Shaloshma, people might think you can also write it Shaloshma. Tosis is not enthusiastic about the approach. The question, I think, is a stronger question than the answer. But even if you say that Mizriyot Mitocho Pasos or Shtar, and again, it seems to be the way Tosis is framing it, mostly at Zera, nonetheless, that's if it's like possible in the sense that what you see is possible, but if what you see is kosher, why would you be concerned?
Maybe you could say that, like, it's a matter of people that we know are not the key Mishnah. Like, if you know that these people design something like that,
but you wouldn't assume that because you assume, I don't know if you've ever been to I've been to one Siddur Get, Ramela Shechter, Zechor Lavracha, my Rebbe's father, who's also my Rebbe. So I don't remember why. Sometimes in Tzmicha, he's giving a Get. It's a very sad case. It's like a couple divorcing. He had become a Baal Tshuva, so they're just not compatible anymore with any children. So that was the only Get I ever witnessed. Do you think I knew anything? No. Ramel told us exactly what we should do. He told everybody exactly what we should do. So I'm sure. I must have signed on that debt. I guess I must have signed it. I'm sure he told us to, sign, and you sign in the shame this exactly. So you look at it. You don't. I don't assume when you look at a ksuba. Tell me something. You got that, right? You have a ksuba somewhere. Edom signed on it. Now I know technically they didn't have to be lishma, but does anybody listen to Edom knew anything they were talking about? Edom rabbi in the Sabbath tradition. Yeah, hopefully if he got his job well, he explains to the chassan what he's being metabol upon himself. And sometimes I get at Talmidim or not in my Talmidim, they want to read the whole Ksuba first, which is fine. I mean, I don't think, we say by a get that the Edom has to read the get, before the Mesira. By the Ksuba, I think everybody knows. I think it's standard for the Ksuba. But fine, they'll read the Ksuba. But do you think that most, the Messiah explains to them, this is what the Ksuba is. I say to the Chassan, understand that when you make the Kinyan now, you are in exchange for this pen that I'm giving you. You are mishad of yourself all the human tzuba to support your wife, etc. And the Edom listen to him. If they didn't want to read it, they read it. Not, they trust me that that's there. And they assign on the body. So everybody assumes that the Masadar get, the Masadar Kiddush should explain to everybody what they're supposed to do. So it's hard to say you look at the get and say, if you wanted a more fruitful way, and I haven't gone digging, I mean, I've looked at the Rush and the Ran in the back, I haven't gone further. In order to solve this problem, you're going to have to argue. Tosis is assuming Mizriyot Mitocho is some type of gzeira. You're going to have to argue that Mizriyot Mitocho, it really sounds like the whole din is only the Rabbanan. I think you're going to have to argue that Mizriyot Mitocho is not a psul of gzeira. It's really it's a psul b'itzuma, that it's a psul meget. That if the get has to be, if you have to be megarish b'chnam, it has to be a kasher shtar. And even though if you don't have edim, it's fine, but if you put Edom Sulam in there, then somehow, it's a stretch. It's a very big stretch. You have to say that somehow that actually makes it a possible shtar. Tosis says isn't kind of intuitive, it's more of a concern. Yes, Sam?
I had some
question.
First, was it known whether people were like postulators back then, or was it a public matter? Like, we know that. Yeah.
It has to be a public matter. And to an extent, when there's something called hachraza, at least by psulim the rabbanon, you're not even possible until the machmas on you. By psulim the raisa, you're possible from the time you violate the avera, but so typically they would be machmas even on psulim the raisa.
So it's known that whoever is possible is also courageous, and why do we need to note the fact that it wouldn't be a good get if they were possible to go against Tosfos?
Well, no, the point is that people know this person's a ganav. And if they see that they're signed in the get, they're going to think, oh, a ganav can sign in the get. Like maybe they think a ganav can sign in other things. There are lots of other stories. Because you see a get with the person signed, and it's a kosher get.
Why is the kosher the person? Why wouldn't your first thought be, okay, it's not the get?
Because we saw the woman got remarried. We saw the get, and she's now getting married. She's at the Roman synagogue of her second marriage.
You didn't just say they're trying to, she's like, not allowed to do that.
But she is. We see the rabbis, the grand rabbis, are all there with their beards down to their belly buttons and pronouncing them man and wife. So that seems to be the concern. They look at the get, and people will say, "Oh, the get's apparently gets a kosher get." But you see their krovim in there. You see their psulim in there. Krovim is even a better example, right? People think, "Oh, krovim aren't pasulatis."
So it's teaching that they're not really pasulatis.
Well, no, so the whole point is the reason why Rabbi Lazar is noted by Nazirat Mitocho is because if you allow the shtar to be good based upon the Eidei Nesira, because that's the Ikar shtar for the Ikar Kinyan for Rabbi Elazar, then people will look at it and say, oh, woman A got me married with this Get B, and I see Get B has signed with these people, so apparently I can let these people sign on other things. And these people have to be psulim, they have to be krovim, and that's a mistake. So that's the concern, that's the gzera. That's why Rabbi Lazar is noted by Nazirat Mitocho. The chashash, that's all. Which is strange. That's why Tosis is so bothered by the question. Okay, so if it's not lishma, how does anybody know that? Looking at the get, nobody's going to say, "Oh, they let a woman remarry with a chasima shelo lishma." You can't tell whether the chasima is lishma or shelo lishma. Looking at it, you have to ask the eidim. You have to ask the shaliach when he says "lefanai nechtam." The way Rabbi understands it, "lefanai nechtam" means I saw him sign, and I saw him sign it for the purposes of this get, this man, and this woman. And Rashi goes so far. We mentioned this as to say. We ask him, was it lishma? As we don't, obviously, as the Gemara will say, later, no, we said it earlier, it was on Gimel and Aleph. Why, according to Rabbi, the reason Fanei Nichtam, Fanei Nichtam is because it has to be lishma, so why doesn't have to say it? Fanei Nichtam lishma, Fanei Nichtam lishma. So the Gemara says, because we're afraid he's going to leave out that statement. And if they require you saying lishma, and he leaves out that word, so it's mishana min afer shetavu b'chacham, and according to Rabbi Meir, the blood is a mountain. So, but Rashi says, other Rishonim disagree, but Rashi says, you ask him, when he says, you say, going to Rabbi, Mishma. Right? In other words, then once he says that, then you could ask him a follow-up question, and he can answer the question. So, the Shaliach has to be able to say that, but we look at it again, on the piece of paper, we can't tell the difference. We can tell that it's a Karav or a Pasul, we can tell that it is Shalishma, and that was Tosis' question. What's the problem with the Mizirat Mitocho by Shalom Lishma? Because the whole concern is Mizirat Mitocho, Tosis assumes, is not inherently possible, it's just it could lead to a Hakala. Like somebody will make a mistake, but Tosis says with Shalom Lishma, what mistake are they going to make? So, okay. So now the Gemara says, continuing, Ravashi Omar, no, he has a better approach. You want to know why? So until now, what we said was the following. We said the first teretz was, the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar, who requires the Fanei Nichtav and the Fanei Nechtav. He requires the Fanei Nichtav, according to Rabbah, because it has to be in Iksiva Lishma. It has to be Fanei Nechtav Lishma, because if it was Nechtav Shalom Lishma, it's Nazirat Mitocho. So even though Rabbi Elazar doesn't really require Eidei Nesira, but Eidei Nechasima, but once you have Eidei Nechasima, it has to be proper. So that's why when a Shaliach brings a get, which has saying if there's in it, he's got to say the Fanei Nechtav, because Itzum Moshe Get requires that, and the Fanei Nechtam, the Shema, so that it won't be Mazir Mitocha. So Rashi Amar, Rashi Amar, Hamani Rabbi Yehuda. No, the author of this Mishnah, of the Fanei Nechtam, the Fanei Nechtam, that requires both Siva and Hasima, the Shema, is she a third Tana, it's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanan, Rabbi Yehuda Posel, Achitek, Sivaso, the Hasimaso, the Kalash. Rabbi Yehuda says, now, in order for it to be kasher, it has to both siva and hasiva have to be betalish. In other words, we passed in that siva has to be betalish, because it has to be the chasav v'nasan. There can't be anything in the siva and the siva. And Rabbi Meir held that no, the chasima has to be betalish. That the chasav in the pasuk refers to chasima according to Rabbi Meir. It's the writing of the edim, the sign. So the chasima has to be betalish. There's nothing interrupting chasima and the siva. But Rabbi Yehuda holds both have to be. Shimon's going to ask a question. Go ahead.
How do you have
Kisiva Betolosh and Betatima Lovetolosh? Ah, this is the Kashi Tosas. Tosas says, how is it possible? Why do you have to say Kisivasa Hasimasa Betolosh? If it is detached when you write it, it's detached when you sign it. So Tosas says, no, it could be that you wrote a get on a vegetation matter, and then you planted it, and it had Hashrasha. And now you sign it from the Chubba Lakata. And now you pluck it from the Kata. Yes, that's exactly the kasha, the one and a half line process, the first wide line of Shizu Shul Kalash. That's a great process. Yes?
Are you allowed to glue on signatures onto the document?
I don't think so. You mean they sign separately and glue it on? Probably not. I mean, there's two separate questions. Clearly the shtar, I think it's puzzle, you know, ipso facto, because it's already going to be disqualified from its inception as being not reliable, because you look at it, and how do you know that somebody didn't do that later? Somebody did it later, in fact. They might have done it legitimately.
Okay, let's say that in this case, you were sitting in a field writing Mishnah,
yeah.
And you also had something growing. You had two things growing.
Oh, that's about, now I know you're sitting there.
A piece of paper and a leaf upon a tree. And they wrote the document, and at the same time, they were also signing on the leaf, and then they cut off the leaf.
So I don't think you can do a Mishnah that way. Although you could write a shtickle Torah and say you can prove that you can't do shtah that way, because otherwise Tosfos would agree that is right. You're proposing an alternative, which is that right?
Yeah, that was not intuitive answer to this case.
I think you can't. In other words, the interesting question is why. You know, we do things even the Noam HaNasan. We do interesting things, like we might be in a sartate or something like that. I think in the modern equivalent, we could probably do this play, but you know, they probably don't have it. You guys are too young. Where they had like these stencils, you know, with the cutouts, and you could just fill in. So you could do that for the agent as well to sign, right? It's not a problem. When agents don't know how to sign, you can help them sign their names. They have to do it. So I could imagine. But I think that if you have a separate piece, clearly gluing it on, it would never be valid as a raya. And I wonder if that's like the quintessential mezuzah mitocho that's really the daraisa, that any shtar, that if you're assuming that edei chasima matter, right? And we're assuming that Yehuda does. If edei chasima matter, any time that the edei chasima are there, even though it's sincere and real and true, in a way that inherently is suspect immediately from the get-go, that's invalid as edei chasima midaraisa.
If that's true, then I want it to also be the case that you can't catch up a shtar and write, that you can't have like a piece of paper that was glued up, but you have a shtar, and I've seen this on certain kitubas, that you have a shtar, and then you have like, there were some mistakes, so we kind of put a new piece on top.
So what you, what you need, you're right, except for that what you need to do there is you need some type of a key. I don't know, I don't remember exactly how it's done in halacha. They talk about being a kind of, in American stuff, like contemporary stuff, like if you make an error on a check, you know, you spell something wrong, you want to correct it, they will tell you, especially once you're, if it's the kind of correction you made already, they'll ask you to initial by it. Right? That the initial indicates that it was an authorized correction. Right? So that is always, then a key amount of machak is an issue. I don't know all the problem of it, but there is such a concern. But you're correct. Fundamentally speaking, if someone sticks a patch on, you know where that's good? I have one in my Sefer Torah, where the mouse ate the regal of, you know, apparently no man will stand in front of us, but a mouse did. So there, the sofer put a patch behind the Sefer Torah in order for the shtar. Yeah,
the shtar was. Okay, I think I've seen people that don't have initials next to the patches.
I don't.
Not in the signatures. I've seen it. Like,
yeah, but I, unless it's something that wouldn't, you know, that wasn't potentially subject. If it was one letter, it'd be one thing. But if it's a whole phrase, then who knows what was written there before? That's very problematic without some type of a keel. I don't know how it's done, but yes. Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara continues. So the Gemara says, "Meikar ma'itayim elu ma'ina l'ach Rabbi Yehuda." Why didn't we initially try to make this Rabbi Yehuda? Now, notice, by the way, it's kind of interesting the way the sugya is constructed, because it's the sum of the Gemara talking mostly throughout, and then Rav Ashi is the one who responds. Therefore, it's not if it had been named Amorahim who explained. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Lazar tried to work it through, and then Rav Ashi come along. You would just say that it's a later. Rav Ashi had a new way of thinking about things, but since it's all in our discussion, it's all simultaneous. So they ask, "What umeikara my time on the mutnei Rabbi Yehuda? It's we. Why didn't we go down this path? Right? It's all the discussion that they spent with Rav Ashi. So so the Gemara says that Mahadrina and Rabbi Meir, we tried to make it first Mishnah funin funach Rabbi Meir because v'sam maslisa Rabbi Meir. Because the anonymous Mishnah, by default, we assume it's Rabbi Meir unless we know otherwise. Mahadrina, the Rabbi Lazar, the time of Anhilchsa Kavase Begitin. When Paschal is the Lazar Begitin. That's a pretty broad statement. So Rashi already comes and narrows it down greatly. Rashi says, by this one issue, Beha Milsa. And with that, Edim Chasum and Mitzvot Kasha. I think, by the way to understand that line in the Gemara, Anhilchsa Kavase Begitin, not the way Rashi understood it. And I think it's the extensive discussion, the time of Anhilchsa Kavase Begitin, the first part of the Tosfos. Which is that if you go to Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, you'll see that Rav says Hilchasa by Eidim. Rabbi Lazar says Afal Pi She'ein Ala Eidim, and the son of the Eidim is Kasher. And Rav says Hilchasa Kavase the Rabbi Lazar begin. And Shmuel says no Hilchasa Kavase even the Sharshkos everywhere, not just by Get. And then the Gemara quotes tons of Amoraim who hold like Rav. But Tosfos goes on to explain we don't pass them like Rav, we pass them like Shmuel. But Dine, and that Eide Masir Karti by all scholars, meaning by all scholars, have to know that's the way we pass. So it's really going a step beyond Rashi. Rashi says, and this is Shulam Gittin, but I think the Gemara's language, I would bet, is really, and Tosus doesn't state it that way. Tosus is coming, Tosus is assuming that, actually. But I think it's saying the Kaimon Hilchos Kavasei begin, that everybody agrees on that page. On the days, Hilchos Kavasei begin, that happens to be on that Mishnah. Maybe that's what Rashi also means, maybe that's what Rashi means when he's quoting the Gemara there. Maybe that's what it is. But what I do mean to say, maybe Rashi is saying this also, it doesn't mean we pass like Rav Elazar begitten. Rashi's not coming to tell you, the Gemara's not coming to tell you that we pass in like Ishur by all she's a begitten. The Gemara's saying we pass in like him by Eide Masira begitten, which is why Tosfos says, La Dafka. Now, the really important issue that emerges from this is Rabbeinu Tam writes, based upon the Pesach Halacha, and this would be true even if we passed the life of Elazar only by Gittin, not by Shah Shkaris, but either way, is that it's really important that when you write a Shah, a Get, for a woman, and you have it signed, it must be given to her by the Baal, or Hishaleach, in front of Eidim, because you need the Eide Masira, because the Eide Masira is Karti. If you don't have Eide Masira, then it is no good. Now, even though you have Eide Chasira, what's the purpose then of Eide Chasira at all? If you don't have Eide Chasira, the answer is, if we don't have the Eide Masira in front of us right now, but the woman and the man say, the get was given in front of Eide Masira, they dropped dead, they went to Oahu, you know, for a vacation and not going to be back for the next 6 years. Right? So then the Eide Chasira are helpful, because the Eide Chasira created Umdana, that it was given, that it was written properly, it was given in front of Eide Masira. This is the position of Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam's position is that Eide Masira Karti Dafka, Eide Chasima for Rabbi Elazar are worthless. And if you know there were no Eide Masira, it's not good. Rabbeinu Tam, even though he doesn't use the term as fully fleshed out, is essentially holding the concept of Eidus Lakiyam Hadavar that we know famously from the Gemara, we should know, from the Gemara in the third paragraph of the tradition, applies by Gittin as well. What is Eide Slakim Adavar? So the Gemara in Kiddushin, in the third paragraph, Samachayda, Samachvav, which is a very, very important Gemara. The Gemara's Maskana, the way we passed it, is that Kiddushin that's done in front of even an Eid Echad, where both the husband and the wife are murdered, they got married, the woman is not Mekudeshes. The Gemara there distinguishes between two kinds of Eidus. In one case, we say, Lo Ivre Sahade Ela Leshakare, the only reason why you need witnesses is because of liars. And that means that if two people trust each other to divide a property, whatever else, it may not be appropriate because they either, but fundamentally speaking, you don't need Eidus in order to make the division work. But there is something there, Eidus Kiddushin, which is Eidus Lakiyum Hadavar, and that even though everybody agrees and everybody that it happened, it doesn't matter if there were no Eidim there. Now, in one of my favorite stories that I like to tell every year, I love this story, I don't know if you got any of you heard it from me, is why do we need Eidus Lakiyum Hadavar? So then why is the Hadas Baldin not working? Normally Hadas Baldin is Tamei in Bami. So the Gemara says, because it's Chav Lachrine, which would mean that once the man marries this woman, she can no longer marry anybody else. Now, it's a very problematic explanation. There is a principle, Hadas Baldin Tamei in doesn't work when it's Chav Lachrine. It means if I have a bunch of creditors, and Yoni has no proof that I owe him this money from 3 years ago, but I'm Modet to Yoni that I own the money, it doesn't work because I might be engaged to shtick with Yoni to get the money away from the creditors. But the fact that if I have no creditors, I say I'm Modet to Yoni $300, so it's fine, I own the money. But if it's going to be Chav Lachrine, not so fast. So it doesn't work so well here. It's really a Melitz, I think the Rashba points out in his Chidushim. But nonetheless, that's what the Gemara says. Now, there's a story that I heard from Roshachter, I think, was that I think it was the Avnei Nezer. They were trying to read a shidduch with him, and he was the Avnei Nezer was the Sefer Shavagon. He was probably Hasidic, I think it was Hasidic stock, and they were making a shidduch with somebody. Maybe not, maybe not. I thought so, but and they're making a shidduch with someone, and the tradition was that the father-in-law, potential father-in-law, was by her the son-in-law. So he asked them a question. He said, "I'm going to the mitzvah. But when I get back, I want an answer to this question." The question was, if you need Eidus Lakiyum Hadavar, how would Adam marry Chava? So apparently Avnei Nezer responded, he's a young man, probably 16 or something, he said, "I'll give you the answer before you put your other arm in the jacket." So the only reason why you need a Tefillah Ma'adavar Bekidushin is because it should have been worked from Hadas Baldin. And the reason why Hadas Baldin doesn't work, it's Maksim Chavachrini. But since there were no other men in the world at the time, it wasn't Chavachrini. The end of the story goes that they didn't make the Shidduch for whatever reason. They came a few years later and made the Shidduch again, and the father wanted to Fahir him again. So he did, and when he was done, the son, the Ayneser said, I want to Fahir you now. And the father said, what a chutzpah. Whoever does this thing. So Ayneser said, listen, the reason why is it that a father-in-law fahirs a son-in-law, then the son-in-law doesn't fahir a father-in-law? The answer is because the son-in-law relies upon the chazakah, that the father-in-law's father-in-law fahirs him. So now he relies upon the chazakah, that's why he's going to fahir their father-in-law. But you already fahired me once. So now you come again, you want to do this, you don't want to rely upon the chazaka, so I don't want to rely on the chazaka either. And they broke off the shidduch, and years later the father-in-law regretted it. That's how I heard the story. Anyway, but the idea is that Hadas Baldin Eidus Lekiyum Adavar is because it's chazak when you don't believe it. So Rabbeinu Tam understands that you need Eidus Lekiyum Adavar by Gittin, just like you need by Kiddushin. That's Rabbi Elazar's position, that Eidei Mesira Karti. Now, Rabbeinu Tam theoretically might even want to, would he extend that to other Shtari Haknah, things like Dinei Mamonos? So would you say the same thing? Yeah, the Eidei Mesira Karti, and if you don't have Eidim for the Haknah, for example, let's say a Shtar for Mimachna Karti. I'm going to give Sam my backyard, and I'm going to write a Shtar, and through the Shtar, Mimachna backyard, so if there are no Eidim, maybe it wouldn't work. So Rabbeinu Tam wasn't sure, because it could be that since Hodas Baldin Tamei Eidim works by Mamonos, maybe you can have Shtari Haknah without Eidim Asira. But he thought that getting Kiddushin, it was a Dabar Pashur. Now, this is the position of Rabbeinu Tam. The Rif and the Rambam, and the tradition of Chachmei Sfarad is not this one. The tradition of Chachmei Sfarad is that Rabbi Elazar's position, and burn this into your mind, is Af Eidei Chasim Akartim, Eidei Masira Akartim. Rabbi Elazar would agree with Rabbi Meir that if you have Eidei Masira on the get, that you actually don't need Eidei Masira. If you don't have Eidei Chasim on the get, then Eidei Masira works just as well. Now, therefore, it means that there really is no Eidus Lekiyum Hadavar by Gerushin, because you don't need Eidei Masira. So you don't actually have to witness Maisa Gerushin. You have a choice of which ones you want to use. However, it has been pointed out that probably even according to the Rambam and the Rif, it might be, and it's not Pasha, maybe it's not so Pasha, it might be that Ein Dover Shiva Erba Pachas Mishnayim, that you stole, are going to need to have proof that the get was actually given over. Not because of the Gerushin Kadichal. No, the Gerushin Rachal, if you have Eidei Chasim, even for Rabbi Elazar, and you give the get's Chal. The problem is, how do the rest of us know that that's very nice, you hold a piece of paper, how do I know the husband actually gave it to you? The answer is the Eidei Mesira. So that would be like we point out in the first sugya, which is that the Eidim, when the Gemara asks the question about Eidim and Beis, of why don't we require Eidus? You know, midi to have Eidach and a Misur, the Gemara says, Davashiv Erba, one Eid doesn't work, you need two Eidim. So it could be that you would require Eidim and Seir, not to make the get the Gerush and Bihal, but because you didn't need proof that the get was actually given. The alternative answer, of course, is that once the alternative approach would be probably to say that if you have Eidei Chasima, and the woman has to get, it's an umdana the muchacha was given. And once you have Eidei Chasima there, it's nasa kimisha nechroi, do some days, and now the woman is holding the get. That might be an umdana the muchacha, and that might suffice for the davarsh of the erba. That, of course, could depend upon the major machlokas harishonim at the beginning of the 10th parak of Yevamos. How is it that we rely upon an eid echa to say that a woman's husband died? So there's a big machlokas Ramban and Tosfos there. The Gemara at the end of the sugya says that the Gemara, after it's unable A to prove that eid echa nema bisurin works when it's ischazik isura, if it's not the yado, and number two, even if that were the case, even if it did work, there's no evidence that Eid Echad Amisur works by Dabar Sheva Erva. So the Gemara's maskana is, why do we allow a woman to remarry on the basis of the testimony of one Eid? The Gemara is based upon some Chazaka Isha Daiko Minsava, and the Chachamim, because they had so many Mitoch Chomer Shechmarat Alev Sofa. If the woman gets it wrong, if the husband turns out to be alive on the basis of this Eid Echad, there will be so many financial penalties for the woman. She'll have to get divorced from both husbands. She'll wind up forfeiting all alimony, all tzuba, etc. So mitoch chomer shachmar kol d'sofa in kafel mitchasa will make go on the assumptions that she will hire her own investigators to be sure the husband is really dead. So the Gemara asks, lelechmer v'leleka, why do machri make go? Just to dance away them, the answer is mishum izuna akil v'rabana. So you get to the end of the sugya, and all this fancy rabbinic footwork, but then the question is, how can the woman remarry? It's only an eid echad. The one answer that the Ramban's answer, Tosfos quotes such an answer and rejects it, is that one might have been tempted to say that when a husband is dead, when a husband doesn't come back, which already raises questions, and the woman is a chazaka isha daito mitzvah, that a woman is good to her investigation, and there's an eirecha that says he's dead, that you have an umdun or the muchach here, there's such compelling evidence that it's like an anan sade, it's like witnesses. Anan sade means we are witnesses, we assume that he's dead. So Tosfos says don't say that. That approach says that really, midaraisa, you don't need two eidim for davar she'eravah, it's enough to have compelling evidence to point in that direction. Tosfos says no, that's not true. Tosfos says that the reason why it works is that kiras davar min haTorah, chachamim ba'okir davar min haTorah, so we'll let an eishes ishri marry. But you all know that the chachamim don't have the power to be okir davar min haTorah b'kum ba'aseh, to actively violate a particular issue. So how can they do that? So Tosfos says a famous concept. Tosfos b'didonim. Tosfos says that if it violates Torah law actively, but it doesn't look like it violates Torah law, then it's okay. In other words, when I look at it this way, it's a violation of Siddur Isaac. But if I look at it with one eye closed this way, it sounds like it makes sense, but there's no, you know it's not. So Tosfos has this, he has this in Gittin. We did this during Jumzman, I think, right? I think for the Pulver, we spoke about this at the beginning of the fourth parak. Tosfos suggests that there, one of the cases of the dummy, where really, the Ikar HaDin, the Daraisa, it's no good, and she's an ish. But because it kind of looks like it should be good, the Chachamim can play games on the Okir Davar Torah. So that teretz, the teretz that Tosfos adopts, says that no, Davar She'eravah requires igus mamish. Now, it doesn't actually have to flee, then you can have the body also, that counts also, an identifiable body, but you need a level of igus that's so strong, we don't just kind of make this wishy, we don't rely upon wishy-washy umdanas. Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara gets into the weeds of this. This is a little more tedious, although all along the way we can come up with very, very important issues here and there that have come up. So the Gemara now wants to prove who's right, who's wrong. Note at the outset that there's an achlokas that we've shown in how to pass it here. The position of the Rif and the position of the Rush, I think the position of mostly shown, and I assume it's the Rambam's position as well, is that the reason why you have to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, is because any of them is going to come up. However, you say something, Daniel? But however, if you look in the back, I have not had the chance. I mean, the Ram quotes what the writer's values are. The writer goes on at great length, and then the Ramban responds in the Sefer Chus. The writer disagrees with the Rif, and he says, no, we're really possible like Rabbah. Now, what Rabbah, you will find out shortly, holds the Maskana, is that both concerns are consideration. Originally, Lishmo is a consideration, and Eidin in the Tzvila Kaino, and only later did they all learn to do Lishma, in which case, in uncommon cases, we don't require the fun, we don't require the Lishma part. In regular cases, they still require Zera Shana Yasa or Davala Kokula. Yes, sir.
Just to back up 12 steps to make sure that I'm sure the basics of the Torah. I know there were several questions. First of all,
Tosfos says even by Shar Shtaros. So it's eating Yisira Karti by Shar Shtaros. And if you don't have Eidei Chasima, it's good with Eidei Nisira.
And then at the end of the third Eidei Tom, and even for Eidei Meir, you would still think that you need that. Isn't that what Eidei Tom said?
Correct. It's correct. I didn't say it right. Even for Eidei Meir, you require Eidei Nisira, not to make the get a get, but so that you have Eidei. So how do you know it was given? In other words, it's Darush Ve'erba. How can anybody believe you? If a man has the shar, thank you for correcting that, I'm confused in my head. If I have the shar written, an Eidei Chasima signed properly, if a man gives his wife a get in private, she is negureshes with the rice according to her mayor, but how do we know it happened? Right? So there's a case the Gemara has Subas in the second parak, I don't know if it appears in the Abramas as well, where two Eidim come and say that the woman, her husband dies. And then two come and say that her husband didn't die. So one of the Tanaim says, and Nisei Slotetsa, she already remarried, she doesn't have to get divorced. So the Gemara says, how can that be? It's a trey o'trey. And the truth is, if you know the sugya of trey o'trey in Yavamos, trey o'trey is at most the sfeika derabanim, and the raisi, you rely upon the chazaka. So the woman is still an ancient sish, how can she remarry? You should make her get divorced. So the Gemara says, when she says, Bari Nif, I know that he died. So there's no suffix going on behar. Then the Gemara says, that's nice, what about the husband she married? So it says, Ben Nisei Slotetsa me'edah. She married one of the two witnesses who said Meis Bala. So he's also borrowed. There's no suffix like Abed him. So
why do you trust him?
Well, that's a separate question, since the Mishnah Yevamo says, by an Eid Echad. If an Eid Echad comes and says, Meis Faila, he's not supposed to marry her because of Chashad. Yeah. You know, or one Chacham who asked an Isha Beneder Abayla is not supposed to marry her because we're afraid maybe he didn't, you know, find the Heter for her Neda that would have allowed her to be married to her husband, so he could marry her. With two Eidim, we're generally not Choshesh because Eid Echad Chote Velolo. So that's why it would work in that case. She could, because she only marries one of our witnesses. The other witness has no incentive to lie, so we went to...
Okay, so just to say that even for... So, we talked to like, the president in general, we need Eid Masira, and then you say, even for a mayor, for more tactical reasons,
you need Eid Masira. I said pragmatic reasons, you need Eid Masira.
How does that relate to the machlokah that you were talking about between the sort of Ashkenazi and Sephardi ways of looking
at it? Well, for the Rambam and the Rif, that you can have a, even though Eidei Mesira Karti, you can have Eidei Mesira. So how is it that you can post this Paschim that you need Eidei Mesira? Amamish. Otherwise, there's the Psach
Halacha. But you're not Paschim that they're married.
Correct. Correct. But how is it then, if we pass like the Balazar, Eidei Mesira Karti, how do you understand the Rambam sheet of Af Eidei Mesira Karti? Right. In other words, what does, if you need... Af Eidei Mesira Karti. How does it that Eidei Chasima work? So, in other words, or I'm just saying, even in general, if you hold... Within Rabbi Meir, that Eidei Chasima Karti, why might you say that you don't need, like according to the Rambam, I don't think you need Eidei Mesira. Now, I don't know that
he... doesn't pass my ability, though, sir?
No, if you have Eidei Chasima, you don't require Eidei Mesira.
Okay, right.
So the question is, why might you not need Eidim in front? That is, why would it be sufficient? I have to go back and check if the Rambam says explicitly, but if you have Eidei Chasima and the woman's holding the get, what might be the sara as to say that that's good enough? Why don't you need, for Rameh Yotam says, you record for me, you need Eidei Mesira because of Damash Verba. The answer might be, it's because there's an Umdam Demucha. Which is that if the Eidei Chasima are good, and we're holding, let's say, either the mayor or holding Af Eidei Chasima Karte, there's an Umdan Demucha that it's been given over because a woman's holding a kasher get written from her husband to her. So what are you afraid? You're afraid that he dropped it and didn't give it to her and so on. Seems remote. So I'm suggesting whether or not Umdana works to satisfy the requirements of Ein Davish Verapal Mishnayim, to some degree, may depend upon that Tosfos, Machlokas Tosfos in Ramban in Yavamos. Right, Tosfos says that when the Gemara has the kula, that Eid Echad, it's not a Daraisa kula. It doesn't work midaraisa based upon Umdana. It doesn't work at all midaraisa. It requires a kiyos davar min haTorah to be done. Because you need Eidos. You can't have just this Umdana.
And halakha l'maaseh, we require at least a chafira in for both the signing of the get and the giving of the get.
I imagine so. I haven't checked in Shulchan Aruch to see that. Right. We will be, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to do that so the other night part. It's a major Sunday. Fine? I don't remember if he's explicit there. I don't think he goes and gets into the weeds. He just says, don't say that it's an undana, and therefore it's an unansade. Hold on, I'll get a few quickly. Facing the open page of the opening page of the tenth pair. First it says, Nira Lumi the less long the Mema Anansadi the Daiko Minsa, the Nemani Racha Batah the Torah, Elami Tachana Sachamu the Neman, the Ainza Kirsta the Torah, Kavan Shid Dome Hadabar Hagun Lahamu. Right, so he just says that don't say that it's Anansadi the Daiko Minsa and it's Eid Achad and it works Menator, with the Ish Daiko Minsa and Eid Achad and it works Menator. No, it's a Kirsta the Menator. So the answer is yes, but even there, the one thing that we rely, the only thing I can think of one example Tosfos to say we would rely upon, which is the body in front of us. But then again, we probably need this for the body in front of us. We need the base and see. I'm sorry? You're talking about a chazaka. That's a different kind of chazaka. Sofalim, Sofer, Al-Chazakos, right? They're going to be potentially very fine distinctions between them. This is, if you want, if you know all of Shas, which I don't, this is the kind of thing, otherwise you have to probably read, like, read through the whole Shev Shmites or something. How do you put all these different Chazakos and Anan Tzadis and so on together? Yeah.
And how do Moshe find
Well, no, because that's easy. Because there, they thought they were married, and it wasn't a valid marriage, so they didn't have das. So they, you know, kind of be a bia. That's our mission. We should be very deeply grateful for a Moshe's tshuva there.
Yeah, it's in a very strange way. It's both very condescending and very helpful.
Listen, when we take the category of tinok shenishba, right? It's a very condescending category. It's to make life, to make a lot of shalom and kol yisrael. And it doesn't have to always be seen that way, in the sense that Tinoch Shenishba is the Tinoch Shenishba. It's really an extending the category to someone who we don't perceive their rebellion as intentional. But yes, they know, they see around. But the fact is, if you're not raised in a certain way, you're not likely to take it on, because you can't. In the society in which we live, in a modern society, you don't look at that person and say they're amazing. You wouldn't expect them to do it. So Tinoch Shenishba is the category, but the Svara is this really intentional rebellion? And that's not condescending. Because nobody would like to believe about themselves, oh yes, I know the truth, but I'm intentionally rejecting it. Right?
I was talking about you recently, so you have a category about condescending.
What's that? I understand, but if you asked him, would you like me to look at you as a person that for the first 5 years of your life, you intentionally rebelling against God? Because I think he would say, no, I didn't understand. Right? So Tino, the term Tino Shanish, right?
Yeah.
It's always complicated, right? But Bali Tshuva typically, of all kinds, and Gerim are people who would say they came to see the light. Right? That ultimately, how do they explain for themselves, I wasn't from once, but I am from now? The answer is, I was born not from typically, I wasn't initially exposed to this, my family didn't do this, I saw this, and I believe that this is correct. That's the most generous, because the alternative interpretation, you know, that they're a mummer and such. That's not nice, right? They won't want to see themselves that way. So we won't call it Tinoch Shenishba. We'll still call it Eino Miskavein Limrod. How's that? Tinoch Shenishba is just a shorthand category. But yes, you're correct. It is one of those things that people might regard condescending, but its purpose actually is to make life better. Yes, sir. We're mixing lots of Gemaras here together here. The main trait of trait Sogya is on Daf Lamed Beis, Daf Lamed Gimel in Yevamos. And there, the reason why it's such an important Sogya trait of trait is because how can you ever have a woman who is Safek Mekudeshes or Safek Megureshes? Why should it be impossible to have Safek Mekudeshes? Midoraisa Safek. Why should it be impossible to have a woman of Safek Megureshes? Well, the answer is the Safek, what do? Mitaraisa. You rely upon the chazaka. So when it's a safek mikudeshes, she's a penuria mitaraisa. When she's a safek mikureshes, she is married. So if you throw her get and it's a safek karav law, that's not a safek mitaraisa. If it's a real safek, then she's still married. And she's still a kiddushin, she's still single. So the Gemara in Yevamos comes up with the idea initially, shrei utrei. That two witnesses say karav lo, two witnesses say karav lo, and the Gemara thinks initially that they have trey, once two witnesses say against the chazaka, even though there are two witnesses who support it, chazaka's gone, midaraisa. And this is a bona fide say for the raisa. The raskan of the Gemara is trey is only say for the rabbana, you still follow the chazaka midaraisa. The other thing is the Mishnah in Yevamos at the end of the second parak that says, Chacham Shasa Sa Ishal Vayla Beneder, Mayim Sa'ena, and the Yafad comes and says, you know, Meis Bala, he should marry her because, you know, Hashem and Kwa Ikshosfer was a sign of Chet Nefer. Appearances of propriety, are improper. Okay? What's the question? I don't know what it was.
It's weird.
Yeah, and the Sugya about the woman who marries one of her witnesses is in Subos around Nath Hafez to the second parent, on top of Amad Beis. Yes? Sure.
You said that. That alternative marriage is not coming is very helpful. In what way?
Because many of them get remarried without any kind of get or any kashrut, and then the children will be mamzeret. And Moshe saves Klal Yisrael. Moshe wrote one tshuva was more outrageous that he wrote
I'll put outrageous in quotes, which was he was martyred basically all the goodness of the Holocaust, even though it was by shame himself. Rav Moshe saved Klal Yisrael on more than one occasion. I think he was a maverick in many ways, but he was Rav Moshe. He was a tzaddik too. If you know the stories of talking to people on the other side, like certain gedolim were, even the Rav, the Rav Hutner especially, here, they were harif personalities. That's not, I'm not saying it's criticism. The human personalities there, especially. Rav Moshe was like just a saint. He was such a, someone I knew in Teaneck, someone I know from Teaneck, who grew up on the side, that like, the princes would be at the table in somebody's house for a meal, and Rav Moshe would get down on the floor and play with the little kids. Can you imagine that? I couldn't imagine the stories only the Rav doing that. Different temperament, different personality. Rav Moshe was like beetle. I think that's the word. But Rav Moshe, those two chulas, I'm sure there are other chulas, those two chulas like were matzil olamos, for Klal Yisrael. Okay. So anyway, fine. So now the Gemara is going to hash out some of the details. Tanan, Rabbi Gamliel Omer Afamiti min Arekem min Acheger, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Afilu mikvar lodem lalod. So these two Tanaim, let's assume for the moment right now there are three pins in Tanaim and Mishnah. Kanakama says that the only person who has to, the only shaliach who has to say the Fanei Nichnam or Fanei Nechtam is the person who comes mi Medina Sayam, but not if he's coming from Ayaras Hasmuchos. I'll borrow Rashi there for the moment. Medina Sayam means like a great distance away. Now, it's not Rashi Tachet. That's Rashi's just Chutzlar. It's as good as them. I think the other Rishonim say it means from a great distance away, because the Tanakhama believes that if you're talking about, you know, if the Tanakhama would probably say that if you are in Manhattan and someone brings a guest from Englewood, if Manhattan were Eretz Yisrael, you wouldn't have to say the Fana Yechda and Fana Nau, Fana Englewood at that Fort Lee. All right?
And New Jersey is not Eretz Yisrael.
Correct. Right. New Jersey would be Chutz Laaretz, Manhattan would be Eretz Yisrael. And you wouldn't say, you know, from Fort Lee to Washington Heights, the Haile Yeshiva University, we wouldn't say you have to say the Fana Yechda, the Fana Yechda, according to the Tanakhama.
If you come from Rhode Island, from Virginia, then that would be...
For sure. Okay, so... So Rabbi Gamliel says, so Afa maybe a rectum and a cheger, which would be Fort Lee. And then Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Afilu mikvar lodim lalod. You have to come up with a better analogy here. I think parts of the South Bronx.
East New York. Here.
No, I'll tell you what it would be. It would be parts of the South Bronx, maybe, because if Manhattan is Eretz Yisrael, Manhattan kind of curves, and if you were to draw a line from the tip of, you know, the kind of the north eastern tip of Manhattan down to, like, you know, 125th Street, part of the Bronx would be jutting in there because it travels along. That's called Muvla'os, the Tocha from. What Rashi points and other Sharon points to that in the parsha of the boundaries, in Parshas Maaseh, so you get all sorts of cities described and some stick out, but sometimes the line would sort of curve in and you have a space between two cities where if you draw a straight line, there is a gap between what is Eretz Yisrael and Aryan close. That's called Lufla. So Rabbi Gamliel says, if it's Samoch, it requires the Fanei Nechtam Nechtam Chuchot Lawrence. Muvla does not. Rabbi Yudhisi says, even Muvla requires. Right? Well, again, so the border lines matter for two reasons. One, and you understand especially Muvla, you would think, why would Muvla, if it's because in Edom it's Shem Mekaimo, Muvla distance-wise, in other words, when you go to the inside of the, let's say, this is Eretz Yisrael, the boundary goes like this. A city here is closer to Eretz Yisrael, or main centers, than these are, in effect. Right?
So that's something that's right on the other side of the border, it's not a permanent border, it's the same distance, and finally there's no difference.
No, correct. But so the question is, so again, the Gemara is going to break it down for both ways. But the assumption would be that the proximity or being swallowed up by it, let's say the proximity either affects how much they know, in other words, how far information travels, or how far Edom travel. The Muvla part, anyway, for Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara says, and Tosfos points out in both the Shonos, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't say that Muvla. You know, the way we present it, we'll read in a second, is the Tanakhama will say, let's take Rava, Lashma. The Tanakhama will say that even the Ayaras Hasluchas are Bikiyam Lashma. Rabbi Gamliel will say they're not Bikiyam Lashma. But Muvlaim, because they're really sort of enveloped, are Bikiyam Lashma. And Rabbi Eliezer will not, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't say, Muvlaim are not Bekiyim Lishma. Rebbe Lezer says that even though Muvlaim are Bekiyim Lishma, Tadeshul Kachlot Bechutzlaitz. We don't want to make any distinctions. Therefore, just as Ayaris Asmuchos are not Bekiyim, Ayaris HaMuvlaos we will treat as if they're not Bekiyim. Ditto, you want to make Rabbi's position that way. So the way the Gemara will present it is Rabbi Gamliel's position is a substantive disagreement with the Tanakhama surrounding the issue of either Rava or Rava. Rabbi Eliezer's position is the local position. In other words, I agree with Rabbi Gamliel that Ayaris HaSmuchos are either not Bekiyim Lishma or either not Bekiyim Lishma, and even though that's not true by the Muvlaos, I want to say by the Muvlaos anyway, because I'm sure Tachlot Bechutz HaBayim, we begin as Hayam. So the Gemara says, let me just read, there's two different things. Rekem and Cheger are Ayaris HaSmuchos. Kfar Lodim is Muvlaos. That's what we're dealing with. Which would be nice, it would be very informative for me to know what the distance between either Rechem and Heger or Karlodim was to the various parts of Eretz Yisrael, if I knew what from Beit Kuvah to Pumbedisa was like. But, you know, it's like telling a blind person, red, you want to know what a colorblind person, you know, red is a mix of purple and blue, if I got that right now. I got it. Red, purple is a mix of red and blue. Okay, thank you, but I have no idea what red and blue are. Okay.
Sorry, can you explain the line one more time? What am I adding here?
Abai is explaining what are these places and why are they special. So he's saying Rechem and Cheger are Ayaros which are not part of Eretz Yisrael, but they're Smuchos to Eretz Yisrael. And the Tanakhama is assuming you don't need to say B'fanei Nefanei Yachad. And Kfar Lodim is Muvlaos to Kol from Eretz Yisrael. And both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Gamliel say you don't have to say B'fanei Nefanei Yachad, but Rabbi Eliezer says that you do. Mechlal, the Tanakhama Sever, Hani Lo Tzarech. Tanakhama says, Smuchos and Muvlaos, you don't have to say the Fanan Tachinatam. So, my lab, Hakam Epagi. The Mar Sever, Lefish Ein Mekiyim Lishma, Vahani Gemire, Umar Sever, Lefish Ein Mekiyim Mekaymo, Vahani Nami Lo Sheikhin. They wanted to suggest that the Machlokes is the Tanakhama believes that the reason it's Lishma, and people who are that proximate over time, it only has to happen once. You learn it Lishma. And Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel say no, that the reason has to do with Eidim Mitzvah Mekaymo, and they're not Mitzvah Mekaymo Chutzpah. Which is obviously not a compelling read, so the Gemara is going to turn around and say that's not compelling. So the Gemara says, lo, Rabba Mitaretz Mitameh, Rabba Mitaretz Mitameh, Rabba Mitaretz Mitameh, the Chulei Amal Lefishim Bekim Lashma, Bahaka Bahaka Matal Yitana, Kama Savahani came in the Smuchos, and they break me. The cities are so close, they learn Allah. Also, Rabbi Gamliel Lameimar, Muvlaos Gemiri, but Smuchos Lo Gemiri. Rabbi Gamliel says no. Ayaris HaMuvlaos have learned the Shema because they're really enveloped by Eretz Yisrael and its cities, whereas Ayaris HaSmuchos are not. They're part of what's life. And then.
This is understanding the Chachamim Ad and Tanakhama, right?
What?
This is understanding the Chachamim
Ad and Tanakhama at the same. Yeah, we're not talking yet about the Chacham Ad at the end.
Okay.
We're only talking about the Tanakhama right now.
So the Tanakhama agrees about
Muvlaos? Tanakhama says, no. Tanakhama says, Smuchos and Muvlaos don't require. Rabbi Gamliel says Smuchos require, Muvlaos don't require. And Rabbi Eliezer says both require. So Tanakhama says neither require, Rabbi Eliezer says both require. Rabbi Gamliel divides. He says Ayaris Smuchos do require because they're not Muvlaos, but Ayaris Muvlaos do not. So Rabbi would say that the Tanakhama and Rabbi Gamliel are arguing about whether Ayaris Smuchos are Bekiyim Lishma, but they both agree that Muvlaos are Bekiyim Lishma, and therefore you don't have to say B'fanei Nefer B'fanei Yacham. And Rabbi Eliezer agrees with them in the Metzias, but he says we don't want to be Cholek Kadesh Lo Tachlok in Medina Chayat. Right? So Tanakhama, Savar Hani Kevin, the Smuchos and Medbar Gmiri, Asra Mimele Neymar, no. Muvlaos are Gmiri, Smuchos La Gamri, Asra Mimele Neymar, Muvlaos nami, not logmini, but nami requires the fana nifla nefem, shalot haflik and dina seya. And Rabbah does the exact same thing. Rabbah mitar tamei, the chumay amalaf and shayim mitzir lakana. Tanakam, as Rabbah hani came in, smuchos, mishkaf shlichi. The asa rabbah gamle le neymar, vlo shlichi, smuchos lo shlichi. The asa rabbah nes le neymar, muvlaos nami, lo shalot haflik and dina seya. So in other words, there's no Rabbi Eliezer probably agrees with Rabbah Gamleel on the substance of Matthias. But he disagrees on whether we make neither Tanakhama nor Rabbi Gamliel think that you make a zera to the Shul Tachlok. They follow whatever the reality is. And Rabbi Eliezer says no, that I recognize that Muvlaos the Talmud from Eretz Yisrael meets the criteria to not have to say b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam, but I require any regulation of tachlok the medina. Sayam. Okay. All right. Let's read one more proof. Sinan, Chachamim omer inetzarf shiyamar b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam alamei midi sayam vehamolach. Now we get to opinion number four, potentially the Mishnah. Mechlal the Tanakama, the original Tanakama Safar, Molech Lo Tzarech. The Tanakama believes that only maybe get Mendir Sam, not Molech get Mendir Sam. So my lava, how come a pagi? The Mar Safar, the Tanakama, who says you only have to say Fanai Nechtam, Fanai Nechtam, when you bring a guest from Medina Sam to Eretz Yisrael, but not vice versa, but he shame Miki and Lashma. And in Eretz Yisrael, but Adi Kimigri, in Eretz Yisrael, they know that Kimi Tzion Ketu Zora, Umar Safar, and when the Chutzlarek Namaraksim. But the other one holds that no, the Chacham and Basra hold it's only that Eidos. If it's 5 miles from Chelm to Warsaw, then it's 5 miles from Warsaw to Chelm. That's the way it is. You know what the real answer is. You don't know the real answer. The Rebbe at Chelm called in at a Gvir visiting and wanted to show off his best talents. Yankala, how far is it from Warsaw to Chelm? 4 miles. How far from Chelm to Warsaw? 8 miles. Explain. He said, yeah. From Hanukkah to Pesach, it's 4 months. From Pesach to Hanukkah, it's 8 months. There you go. So, no. The bottom line is the distance from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz is the same distance from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Psychologically, maybe it's different. But in physical reality and time to travel, so despite by Yisrael Yaakov, Rav Lov, Ayech, Arsav, and Ekedem, he was going to Chutz La'aretz, but he was so excited by God's promise, his legs carried him.
They didn't have the Chasma of one-way streets to answer the Kasha back then?
What's that? Maybe they didn't have one-way streets. Okay. Besides, usually the one-way streets are parallel, so the distance.
No, because on the bridge, on the Riverdale, it's called, how do you have the bridge going to Riverdale? You can only bike in one direction, I think.
Really?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I know there are two levels, but that's really wild. That's pretty wild.
No, that bridge is only one level.
Really?
Yeah, two of
real. How do you say no? There are two levels. When you go into Riverdale, you're on the upper level. When you come to the head, you go to the lower level.
Oh, right.
Yeah, absolutely. I've done enough times. That much fatigue I have. Okay, so the Gemara says no. Rabba mitarets the tame, Rabba mitarets the tame. Rabba mitarets the tame, the chule alma, lachim she'en b'kul nishma. Everybody agrees it's about nishma. So then the question is, why does the Chacham and Basrai require molech? So the halacha of gzeiras molech atu mevi kamapalgi. Tana kama sabar lo gazrina molech atu mevi. V'rabbanan basra is sabar gazrina molech atu mevi. Question is, you should require for molech. But if you don't require for molech, people think maybe also doesn't require. V'rabban mitarets v'tamei dechulei alma l'fisha ein edem mitzvim mekaimo. V'rabbanan basra is dechurushi tam v'tana tam v'hudasim. The way I would say this, you could explain it either way, but I would say that there are only three opinions on Mishnah, not four. The opening statement of the Tanakhama is a general blanket statement, and maybe you get the Nishayam, colon, and now there are three opinions on how to understand it. Rabbi Gamliel, who says, Ayeras HaSimuchos do require, Rabbi Lezer says, even Ayeras Mavos require, and the Chacham and Basrai, who say, only Medina Sayam, not Ayeras, not Simuchos, not Ayeras Mavos, but even Molech is required because any of them is saying Lakaima. Okay, I'll stop here.